Are you still there?
Yeah.
I thought you fell asleep.
I'm awake. It's only 10 here.
I was saying that I'd have to wear a gun. Would that bother you?
I don't know, she said. I've never thought about it. It's hard to imagine you with a gun. Neil didn't even kill spiders. He teased them onto a piece of paper, then set them down gently on the porch. Would it bother you?
I don't know, he said. Maybe. I've always hated guns.
I love you, she said.
Because I hate guns?
Because everything.
Because everything.
She could hear Neil almost smiling. She could almost see him, too. No. Georgie was picturing her, Neil. Her almost 40, Neil. Leaner, sharper, with longer hair and crow's feet and a bit of gray in the beard he grew every winter.
What passes for winter, he'd say. My children are never going to know what it's like to come in from the cold and feel the warmth work its way back into their fingers.
It sounds like you're saying they're never going to get frostbite.
I can't have this conversation with someone who's never built a snowman.
Our kids have seen snow.
At Disneyland, Georgie, that's just soap bubbles.
They don't know the difference.
What if it was Persephone who kidnapped Hades?
You're talking fancy again. Her Neil had lost his baby fat, his soft belly, and hobbity hint of a double chin. Once Alice was born, Neil took up cycling. He went everywhere by bicycle now, hauling a bright yellow trailer, hauling two little girls, bags of groceries, stuffed animals, stacks of library books. Working motherhood had made Georgie shapeless and limp and perpetually tired-looking. She never got enough sleep anymore, and she'd never gotten her waist back or gotten around to buying new clothes for this new, not so new anymore, really, reality. Georgie hadn't even resized her wedding ring after it got too tight to wear during her last pregnancy. It sat in a china saucer on her dresser. While Neil had come into focus over the years, clean-jawed, clear-eyed, Georgie had lost her own reflection in the mirror. Sometimes, when she had a day off, they'd walk to the park, the four of them, and Georgie would see how the nannies and stay-at-home moms looked at Neil, the handsome dad with the blue eyes and stubbly dimples and the two laughing, doll-faced satellites.
Georgie, am I losing you?
No. She pressed the phone to her ear. I'm here.
Do we have a bad connection?
This person on the other end of the line was Neil as he was, before he was quite hers, when he was still circling the possibility of Georgie. This Neil was harsher, paler, had a shorter temper. But this Neil hadn't given up on her yet. This Neil still looked at Georgie like she was something brand new and supernatural. He was still surprised by her, delighted with her. Even now, as frustrated as he was, even now, 10 states away and half done with her, this Neil still thought she was better than he deserved. More than he'd ever expected life would give him. I love you, she said.
Georgie, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Her voice broke. I love you.
Sunshine?
Neil sounded soft, concerned.
I love you too.
But not enough, she said. Is that what you're thinking?
What? No, that's not what I'm thinking.
It's what you've been thinking, she said. It's what you thought from California to Colorado.
That's not fair.
What if you were right, Neil?
Georgie, please don't cry.
It's what you said, and you said that you meant it, and nothing's changed, has it? Why aren't we talking about this? Why are we pretending that everything's fine? It's not fine. You're in Nebraska, and I'm here, and it's Christmas, and we're supposed to be together. You love me. But maybe it isn't enough. That's what you're thinking.
No. Neil cleared his throat and said it again. No. Maybe I was thinking that, from California to Colorado. But then I got tired. Literally tired. Dangerously tired. And there was the thing with the aliens, and the sunrise, and the rainbows. I told you about the rainbows, right?
Yeah, she said. But I don't understand the significance.
There's no significance. I just got tired. Tired of being angry. Tired of thinking about dead ends and everything that isn't or might not be enough.
So not breaking up with me seemed like a better idea after you'd been awake for 24 hours?
Don't.
What if you were right? What if it isn't enough?
He sighed. Lately, I've been thinking that it's impossible to know.
To know what? She pushed.
Whether it's enough. How does anyone ever know whether love is enough? It's an idiotic question. Like, if you fall in love, if you're that lucky, who are you to even ask whether it's enough to make you happy?
But it happens all the time, she said. Love isn't always enough.
When? Neil demanded. When is that true?
All Georgie could think of was the end of Casablanca and Madonna and Sean Penn. Just because you love someone, she said, that doesn't mean your lives will fit together.
Nobody's lives just fit together, Neil said. Fitting together is something you work at. It's something you make happen. Because you love each other.
But, Georgie stopped herself. She didn't want to talk Neil out of this, even if he was wrong. Even if she was the only one who knew how wrong he was. He sounded exasperated.
I'm not saying that everything will magically work out if people love each other enough.
If we love each other enough, Georgie heard.
I'm just saying, he went on, maybe there's no such thing as enough.
Georgie was quiet. She wiped her eyes with Neil's t-shirt.
Georgie, do you think I'm wrong?
No, she said. I think, oh God, I know that I love you. I love you so much, too much. I feel like it's going to spin me off my axis. Neil was quiet for a second.
That's good, he said.
Yeah?
God, yeah.
Do you want to get off the phone now? He huffed a laugh into the receiver.
No.
But maybe he did. Neil was always good about talking to her on the phone, but he wasn't a 15-year-old girl.
Not even a little bit, he said. Do you?
No.
I wouldn't mind getting ready for bed. Can I call you back?
No, she said too quickly, then lied. I don't want to wake up my mom.
Okay, then you call me. Give me 20 minutes. I want to take a quick shower.
Okay, she said.
I'll try to pick up on the first ring.
Okay.
Okay.
He blew a quick kiss into the phone, and Georgie laughed, because Neil seemed like the last guy on earth who would kiss into a phone. But he wasn't. Bye, she said, waiting for the click. Chapter 18. Georgie decided to take a shower too, and discovered that she and Kendrick used the same shampoo. She felt like Goldilocks, just right. Her mom said she could borrow some pajamas. All her mom's pajamas came in sets, matching tops and bottoms, or peignoirs with flirty, useless robes. Just give me a t-shirt. Georgie was standing in her mom's bathroom in a towel, shouting through the door. I don't have any sleeping t-shirts. Do you want one of Kendrick's? Gross, no. Then you'll just have to deal. Her mom opened the door and threw something in. Georgie unfolded a pair of aqua-colored pajama shorts, polyester satin with cream-colored bows, and a matching, low-cut, lace-trimmed top. She groaned. Have you been talking to Neil all this time? Her mom asked. Yeah, Georgie said, wishing she had clean underwear, not willing to borrow any. How is he? Good. She realized she was smiling. Really good. How are the girls? Fine. Are you working things through? There's nothing to work through, Georgie said. Yes, she thought. I think so. She peeked out of the bathroom. Where's Kendrick? In the living room, watching TV. Georgie walked out. Look at you, her mom said. You look so nice. You should let me go shopping with you sometime. I have to call Neil back, Georgie said. Thanks, for the pajamas and everything. She stooped to kiss her mom on the cheek. Georgie tried to do stuff like that now that she had kids of her own. Alice and Numi couldn't get enough of Georgie. They practically crawled on her when she was home. It made Georgie feel physically ill to think of them shying away from her or bristling when she tried to kiss them. What if they went a whole year without calling her mom? So Georgie tried to be more affectionate with her own mother when she could. As soon as she kissed her mom on the cheek, her mom turned her face to catch Georgie on the lips. Georgie frowned and pulled away. Why do you always do that? Because I love you. I love you too. I'm going to call Neil. Georgie tugged at the satin shorts. There was no tugging them to a reasonable length. Thank you. She looked both ways before walking out into the hall. She stopped at Heather's room. Heather was lying on her bed. She had her laptop out and was wearing headphones. She took them off when she saw Georgie. Hello, Victoria. Did you come to tell me a secret? Do me a favor. What? I'm starving, but I don't want to walk through the living room like this. I think if Dad sees you in Mom's lingerie, it might scar him for life. Heather called Kendrick Dad, which made sense because he'd raised her, and because he wasn't 3 years older than Heather. It might scar me for life, Georgie said. Why are all her pajamas lingerie? She's a very sensual woman. I know this because she likes to tell me. Heather got off the bed. What do you want to eat? I ate all the ziti and the puppy chow. There wasn't that much left. Hey, do you want me to order you a pizza? No, Georgie said. I'll take whatever's in the kitchen. You could have borrowed some of my pajamas, you know. That's very sweet of you, Georgie said. Why don't you give me as many as you can spare, and I'll fashion something comfy and tent-like out of them. I'm sure I have something that would fit you. Oh my God, stop. Just get me some food. I'm gonna go hide in my room. Have you been talking to Neil? Georgie grinned. Yeah. That's good, right? Georgie nodded. Go, I'm hungry. Heather brought back an apple, 3 pre-wrapped slices of cheese, and a giant bottle of Mexican Coke. Georgie would have been better off sending Alice. Call Neil, Heather said. I want to say hi to the girls. It's after 1 in the morning there, Georgie said. They're asleep. Oh, right. Time zones. Georgie unwrapped a slice of cheese and started eating it. Thank you. Now go. You're supposed to wrap the cheese around the apple. It's like a caramel apple. That doesn't sound anything like a caramel apple. Call him now, Heather said. I want to say hi. No. Georgie's mom, miraculously, hadn't spoiled anything with Neil, but there was no way Georgie was letting Heather near the phone. Why not? Heather asked. You know why not, Georgie said. No, I don't. Because we have private stuff to talk about. Like divorce stuff? No. Like phone sex? Georgie grimaced. No, because you can't have phone sex wearing mom's lingerie. I just want to talk to my husband, okay? Privately? Sure, right after I say hi. Georgie tried to open the Coke bottle. Do you have a bottle opener? Yeah, Georgie, I carry one in my jammies, here. Heather took the bottle and started to twist the cap in the side of her mouth. Stop, Georgie said, reaching for the bottle. You'll ruin your teeth. Heather sighed dramatically and handed Georgie the bottle. Georgie set it delicately in her own mouth and bit down as gingerly as possible. The phone rang. Before Georgie could even think about getting to it, Heather grabbed the receiver and shouted, Hi, Neil! Georgie dropped the bottle and launched herself on her sister, digging under Heather's head for the phone. It's Heather. Yes, Heather. Heather, Georgie whispered, I'm going to kill you. Let go. Heather was curled into a defensive ball on the bed, still pushing Georgie in the face with one hand and holding the phone to her head with the other. Her expression went from bratty to victorious to confused. She let go of the phone abruptly, and Georgie pushed her off the bed. Georgie grabbed the phone. Neil?
Yeah?
He sounded confused. Just a minute. Heather was standing in the middle of the room, bug-eyed, arms folded. That's not Neil, she whispered. At least she was whispering. It is, Georgie argued. Then why didn't he know who I was? He was probably wondering why you were yelling at him. That didn't sound like Neil. Heather, I swear. You're having an affair. Oh my God, you're having an affair. Is that why Neil left you? Georgie rushed forward and covered Heather's mouth with her hand. Heather's eyes were huge and tearful. Oh, God. Heather, I swear that I am not having an affair. I promise you. Heather pulled her head away. On your life? On my life. On Alice and Numi's lives? Heather said. Don't say that. That's terrible. It's only terrible if you're lying. Fine, yes, I swear. Heather pursed her lips. I know that's not Neil, Georgie. I know something's wrong here. It's women's intuition. You're not a woman yet. That's bullshit. I'm old enough to get drafted. Please, please go away, Georgie begged. I have to talk to Neil. We can talk about this tomorrow morning. Fine. Georgie pushed Heather out the door and closed it. Her heart was thudding. She really needed to get back to yoga. Or whatever it was people did now. Spin. Georgie hadn't been to the gym since Alice was born. She wished her bedroom door had a lock. It didn't even latch. Her mom said the dogs liked to come in here and sleep on the bed. Georgie walked back to the phone and picked up the receiver. She held it up to her ear, cautiously. Neil?
Georgie?
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was Heather, my cousin Heather.
Your mom named Heather, Heather, even though you have a cousin named Heather?
Yeah, sort of. After Heather, my cousin.
Is she staying with you for Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you have other family there?
No, just Heather.
I didn't know you had cousins,
he said. Everybody has cousins.
But you don't have aunts and uncles.
Georgie sat back down on the floor. Are you practicing for railroad detectives?
It doesn't seem like you like your cousin.
I just don't want to waste precious you time talking about Heather.
Precious me time,
Neil said softly. Yeah.
I miss you, Georgie.
I miss you too.
Sorry. I got tired of waiting for you to call.
It's okay, she said.
Are you in bed?
No, I'm sitting on the floor, eating pre-wrapped cheese.
Really?
He said. It came out a laugh.
What are you wearing?
Georgie took a bite of cheese. This was ridiculous. This was all ridiculous.
You don't want to know.
It's snowing here.
Georgie felt a pull in her stomach. She'd still never seen snow. It never snowed when she was in Omaha, even in December. Margaret said Georgie brought the sun with her. But it was snowing now for Alice and Numi, and it was snowing in 1998 for Neil.
Really? She said.
Yeah.
Neil sounded soft and warm. He sounded tucked in.
Just started.
Georgie climbed up into bed and clapped softly to turn off the light. Tell me about it.
I can't, he said. You don't have any frame of reference.
I've seen snow on TV.
That's usually fake.
How is real snow different?
It's less like powder. It's sticky. It doesn't scatter when you walk through it, not usually.
What's it like in your head?
I don't know. I've never thought about it.
It's like snow.
Think about it.
Well, it looks like crystal. Snowflakes do, but I know it's soft. I guess I imagined that it would feel almost ceramic, but instead of shattering, it would crumble in your hands. Is that right? She asked.
Almost not at all.
Tell me.
Well, it's ice, he said.
I know it's ice.
You're partly right. It's soft. Have you ever had shaved ice? Did you have one of those Snoopy snow cone machines?
Of course not. My mom never bought me anything good.
But you've had shaved ice.
Yeah.
So you know how that's soft. How it's solid, but soft. How it compresses when you push your tongue into the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, she said.
Well, it's like that. Like ice, but soft and light. And also whipped with air. And sometimes, like tonight, it's thick, and it sticks together in clumps, like cotton candy and wet feathers.
Georgie laughed.
I wish you were here, he said, to see it. If you were here, you'd be sleeping in the basement. There's a fold-out couch.
She knew about the couch. I don't like basements.
You'd like this one. It's got lots of windows and a foosball table.
Georgie climbed under the covers.
Oh, well, foosball. And a whole wall of board games.
I like board games.
I know. You're in bed now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell. Your voice has given up.
Given up what? She asked.
I don't know. Being upright. And on the ball, clever, all the things you have to be all day long.
Are you saying I'm done being clever?
I'm saying, he said, I like it when you've given everything up for the day.
I like you on the phone, Georgie said. I've always liked you on the phone.
Always? If you were here, Neil said, you'd be sleeping in the basement, and I'd notice it was snowing, and I wouldn't want you to miss it. I'd come downstairs.
Don't. You'll traumatize Margaret if you get caught sneaking into my room.
Pfft, I'm stealthy. I'd come down and wake you up, and I'd let you borrow a pair of my boots and an old coat.
Make it your Letterman's jacket.
It's not warm enough,
he argued. It's hypothetical snow, Neil. Make it your Letterman's jacket.
I don't get it. You think wrestling is gross, but you like my Letterman's jacket?
You didn't wrestle in the jacket, she said.
It could be real, you know, this scenario. Next Christmas. So I'd take you outside in borrowed boots and my Letterman's jacket, out to the backyard. I've told you how there are no streetlights, right? You can see the stars.
Georgie had stood in that backyard with Neil, his backyard that felt like the edge of a forest, a dozen times over the years. There hadn't ever been snow, but there were stars.
And I'd watch you meet the snow, he said.
Meet it?
Feel it. Taste it. I'd watch it catch in your hair and eyelashes.
She rubbed her cheek into her pillow. Like in the Sound of Music.
And when you got too cold, I'd hold you close. And everywhere I touched you, the snow would melt between us.
We should really talk on the phone more at home.
He laughed. Really?
Yeah. Just call each other from the next room.
We could get cell phones, he said.
Brilliant idea, she agreed. But you have to promise to answer yours.
Why wouldn't I answer?
I don't know.
And then, he said, when you got too cold for me to keep you warm, which would be too soon because you're spoiled by the sun, I'd take you back inside, and we'd shake off the snow and leave our wet boots in the mudroom.
Why is it called a mudroom?
Because that's the room where you take off your muddy things.
I love that your house plans for you to get muddy, like it's in the architecture.
And then I'd follow you back downstairs. And you'd still be so cold, and your pajama pants would be wet, your face would be flushed, your cheeks would be numb.
That sounds dangerous, she said.
It's not dangerous. It's normal. It's nice. And I wouldn't be able to stop touching you,
Neil said,
because I've never touched you cold.
You're hung up on the cold. His voice dipped into a rumble.
I'm hung up on you.
Don't talk like that, Georgie whispered.
Like what?
That voice.
What voice?
He rumbled. You know what voice. Your, would you like me to seduce you, voice?
I have a Mrs. Robinson voice?
Yes, she said. You're a minx.
Why can't I seduce you, Georgie? You're my girlfriend.
She swallowed. Yeah, but I'm sleeping in my childhood bedroom.
Georgie, I've had my way with you in that childhood bedroom. Just last week, in fact.
Yeah, but you're in your childhood bedroom. And you're actually, practically, your childhood self. Georgie couldn't talk dirty with this Neil. It would be like cheating on her Neil, wouldn't it?
Have you blacked out all of last summer?
He asked. She smiled and looked away, even though he couldn't see her. The summer of spectacular phone sex, she said. Of course she remembered the summer of spectacular phone sex.
Exactly, he said. The summer of conjugal long distance.
Georgie had forgotten that nickname. It made her laugh. No, I haven't forgotten.
Is something wrong?
I can't have spectacular phone sex with you. I haven't had phone sex for 15 years. I'm wearing my mother's lingerie. Neil laughed, genuinely, out loud, which almost never happened.
If you're trying to turn me on, I have to tell you, sweets, it's not working.
I'm actually wearing my mother's lingerie, Georgie said. It's a long story. I didn't have anything else to wear. She could hear him smiling, even before he started talking.
Well, Christ, Georgie. Take it off.
Neil. Neil, Neil, Neil.
I'll call you tomorrow.
No, she said. Just stay.
I'm falling asleep.
He breathed a laugh. It sounded muffled. She could picture his face in the pillow, the phone resting on his ear. She was imagining a cell phone.
Wrong.
That's okay, she said.
I might be asleep already, he murmured.
I don't mind. It's nice. I'll fall asleep too. Just set the phone close so I can hear you wake up.
and then I'll explain to my dad that I was on a long-distance call for 10 hours because sleeping on the phone seemed romantic at the time. God, long distance. Georgie had forgotten about long distance. Did that still exist? It would be romantic, though, she said, like waking up in each other's heads.
I'll call you when I wake up.
Don't call me, she said. I'll call you. He snorted a little.
I didn't mean it like that,
she said. But seriously, don't call me. I'll call you.
Okay, you call me, sunshine. Call me as soon as you wake up.
I love you, Georgie said. I love you like this.
Asleep?
Unlocked, she said. And then, Neil?
Call me before you get dressed, he said.
She laughed. I love you.
Love you too.
His voice was a slur. I miss you, she said. He didn't answer. Georgie felt her own eyes closing. The receiver slid along her cheek. She clutched it, lifting it back up. Neil? I miss you.
Just a few more days,
he mumbled. Good night, Neil.
Good night, sweetheart.
Georgie waited for him to hang up, then set the receiver on its hooks and slid partway off the mattress to put the phone back on the nightstand. Monday, December 23rd, 2013. Chapter 19. The first time Georgie woke up, it was just after dawn, and it was because she wasn't wearing pants, which was alarming at first, and then funny. And then she pulled the covers up over her head and tried to go back to sleep, because it felt like she'd been dreaming something good, and like maybe she'd be able to get back to it if she didn't completely open her eyes. She fell asleep thinking she couldn't remember the last time she felt so warm, and that maybe warm was the same as in love. And obviously she was in love with Neil. She'd always been in love with Neil. But when was the last time she'd talked to him for 6 hours? Just talked to him. Just him, just her. Maybe this was the last time, she thought. And then she fell back to sleep. The second time Georgie woke up, it was because somebody was shouting. Two somebodies were shouting and banging on her bedroom door.
Georgie, I'm coming in.
Was that Seth?
Georgie, he's not coming in.
And Heather? Georgie opened her eyes. The door opened and immediately slammed shut.
Fuck, Heather, Seth whined. That was my finger.
Georgie sat up. She was wearing her mom's skimpy tank top clothes. She needed clothes. She spotted Neil's t-shirt on the floor and made a desperate grab for it, yanking it over her head.
I can't just let you waltz into my sister's bedroom, Heather shouted. Are you protecting her honor? Because that ship has sailed.
It hasn't sailed. He's just visiting his mom.
What?
Seth sounded winded. The door opened and he spotted Georgie before it slammed shut again.
Georgie!
The door flew back open, and Seth and Heather fell in, practically on top of each other.
Oh my God, Georgie said. Get off my sister!
Heather was pulling at the neck of Seth's sweater.
Tell her to get off me, he said.
Get off, Georgie shouted. This is like a nightmare I haven't even had yet. Heather let go and stood up, folding her arms. She looked as suspicious of Georgie as she did of Seth.
I answered the front door, and he ran past me.
Seth straightened his cuffs furiously, glaring at Georgie.
I knew you were here.
Brilliant deduction, Georgie said. My car's parked outside. What are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
He gave up on his cuffs.
Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? What are you doing here? What are you doing, Georgie?
Georgie rubbed her face in Neil's t-shirt and glanced over at the phone, which was sitting next to her old alarm clock.
which said noon. Jesus, she groaned. Is it really almost noon?
Yes, Seth said. Noon. And you're not at work, and you're not answering your phone, and you're still wearing those ridiculous clothes.
My battery's dead.
What?
She pulled the comforter tight around her waist. I'm not answering my phone because my battery's dead.
Oh, good, he said. That explains why you're at your mom's house, having an epic lie-in.
The doorbell rang. Heather looked at Georgie. Are you okay?
Seth threw his hands in the air. Seriously, Heather, I think you can trust me to be alone with your sister, who has been my best friend longer than you have been alive.
Heather pointed at him, threatening. She's fragile right now. The doorbell rang again.
I'm fine, Georgie said. Get the door.
Heather stomped out into the hall. Seth ran a hand through his hair and shook his head.
Okay. Let's not panic. We've still got time, and I've got coffee. There are still 12 workable hours left today, right? And then at least that many tomorrow. And maybe 5 or 6 on Christmas?
Seth.
What did she mean by fragile?
Look, Seth, I'm sorry. Just let me get dressed.
You've got your special Metallica t-shirt on, he said. Looks like you're already dressed.
Just let me change then, and brush my teeth and wake up. I'm sorry. I know we need to work on the scripts.
Jesus, Georgie.
He sat down hard on the bed, facing her.
Do you think I care about the scripts?
She folded her legs up under the comforter. Yes. Seth's head fell into his hands.
You're right. I do. I care a lot about the scripts.
He looked up, despondently.
But finally getting our dream show won't be that rewarding if you move back in with your mom and start sleeping 18 hours a day.
I'm sorry, she said. He rucked both hands through his hair.
Stop saying that. Just tell me what's going on with you.
She glanced over at the yellow phone. I can't.
I already know.
You do?
No, he couldn't. I know it's Neil. I'm not blind.
I never thought you were blind, Georgie said. Just self-absorbed.
You can talk to me about this.
I really can't, she said.
The universe won't unravel, Georgie.
Something else might. Seth sighed.
Did he leave you?
No.
But you guys aren't talking.
No, she thought. Not since Wednesday. Then, yes, all night long. What makes you say that? She asked. Seth looked up, almost like he was embarrassed for her.
The way you've been taking your laptop with you to the bathroom just in case your phone rings.
I have to leave it plugged in, she said.
Get a new phone.
I'm going to. I've been busy. Seth drew his lovely auburn eyebrows together. He looked like a concerned junior senator,
like the actor who'd get cast to play a concerned junior senator, like the star of a lighthearted procedural on the USA Network. Can't you just tell him this is all my fault? Throw me under the bus?
That doesn't actually work, Georgie said, fisting her hands in the comforter in her lap. Making you seem like an asshole just makes me seem like a person with asshole loyalties. Seth rolled his eyes.
He thinks I'm an asshole no matter how you make me out.
Seth sighed and looked at the ceiling.
God, Seth, this is why we can't talk about this. What? I'm not saying he's an asshole. I'm saying I know he thinks I am.
Neil is not an asshole.
I know, Seth said.
And I hate that word.
I know.
She wanted to rub her eyes, but she didn't want to let go of the comforter.
I mean, he is sort of an asshole, Seth said.
Seth!
What? That's his shtick, isn't it? You know that's his shtick. He's like a Samuel L. Jackson character.
I hate Samuel L. Jackson.
I know, but you like the whole, you wanna mess with me, punk, huh, do ya thing. You love that. Shut up. You don't even know Neil.
I know him, Georgie. I've been sitting one seat away from him my whole fucking life. I secondhand smoke know him. It's like we've got shared custody of you.
No. Georgie pressed her fingertips into her forehead. This is why we don't talk about this. You don't have any custody.
I have some. Weekdays.
No. Neil is my husband. He has full custody.
Then why isn't he here trying to figure out what's wrong with you?
Because, Georgie shouted.
Because why?
Because I fucked up.
Seth was angry.
Because you didn't go to Omaha?
Most recently because I didn't go to Omaha.
Because I never go to Omaha.
You go once a year. You bring me back that Thousand Island dressing I like.
I mean metaphorically. I always choose the show. I always choose work. I am forever not going to Omaha.
Maybe you should ask yourself why not, Georgie.
Maybe I should, she practically shouted.
Seth stared at his lap. Georgie stared at hers. This wasn't them. Seth and Georgie never fought. Or rather, they always fought. They bickered and they insulted and they mocked. But they never fought about anything that mattered. She knew that Seth knew things weren't great between her and Neil. Of course Seth knew. He'd been sitting right next to her for 20 years. He'd watched it all go bad. At least that's how it would look from his perspective. But he never mentioned it. Because there were rules. And because some things were sacred. Not Georgie's life, but work. Work was sacred. Seth and Georgie checked their lives at the door, and they worked. And there was something really beautiful about that, something freeing. No matter how badly they messed up their lives, the two of them would always have the show, whatever show they were on, and they'd always have each other. They protected that. They protected work so they'd always have it there, an oasis that ate up their days. God. God. This was how Georgie had ruined everything. By being really good at something. By being really good with someone. By retreating into the part of her life that was easiest. She started crying. Hey, Seth said, reaching out to her.
Don't. Georgie said.
He waited until she was just sniffling. Did you get to work on the script last night?
No.
Are you coming in today?
She shook her head. I don't know.
We can work here if you want. Change of scenery might do us good.
What about Scotty?
Seth shrugged. He's already working from home. He even finished an episode. It's not bad. It doesn't sound like us, but it's not bad. It's something.
Work. Georgie should go to work. She was missing Christmas so she could work on the show. If she didn't work on the show, this whole week would be a waste. Georgie would have destroyed her marriage for nothing. She was about to tell Seth, "Fine, fine, I'll come, I'll work." When the phone rang. The landline. She and Seth both looked at it. It didn't ring again.
Come on, Seth said. I brought coffee. I don't know where it ended up. I handed it to your sister to get her out of my way. God, she's protective. Have you been getting death threats?
Someone thumped down the hall, and the door opened. Heather shoved her head and shoulders through. It's for you, she scowled at Georgie. It's Neil. Georgie's heart skipped a beat.
Great, now she was having heart palpitations.
Wait, Neil could call the kitchen phone too? This was out of control. Thanks. Hang up when I pick up? You want me to hang up on him?
No, Georgie said. I'll get it in here.
Can you do that? Are you serious?
Heather scowled some more.
Sorry, I'm not up on your 20th century technology.
Go to the kitchen, wait until you hear me pick up, then hang up.
Just pick up now, Heather said.
Georgie looked at the phone, just out of reach, and at Seth, and not at her mom's pajama shorts lying on the floor.
In a minute, she said.
Fine. Heather watched Georgie closely, like she was trying to crack her game.
I'll just go talk to Neil while I wait.
Don't talk to him, Heather. Heather's eyes had narrowed to slits.
I'll just say hi to Neil. Ask about the girls.
Georgie kicked Seth. Pick up the phone.
What? You want me to talk to Neil?
Nobody's talking to Neil. Pick up the phone. She kicked him again. Then hand it to me. And you, she pointed at Heather, are a terrible sister and a worse person.
Georgie kicked Seth one more time. He stood and picked up the receiver, holding it in the air for a few seconds, pinching the handle like it was a bomb, then tossed it to Georgie.
Heather waited in the doorway. Hang it up, Georgie mouthed. Now.
She held the phone to her ear and waited for the click. She could hear voices at Neil's house, his parents. She could hear Neil breathing.
Heather rattled the phone onto the hook in the kitchen.
Hello? Georgie said.
Hey,
Neil answered. Georgie felt her face get all soft. She looked down so Seth wouldn't notice.
Hey, can I call you back?
She hoped this was the right Neil. She didn't mean the right Neil. She meant the young one.
I know I wasn't supposed to call, he said, but it was getting late, and I thought, I don't know what I thought, that I wanted to talk to you, I guess.
This was the right Neil. It's okay, she said, but can I call you back?
Yeah, he said. Sorry.
Don't be sorry, I'll call you right back.
Good morning, Georgie.
Georgie looked at the clock. It's almost 2 there, isn't it?
Yeah, Neil said. But not there, right? I called now because I didn't want to miss telling you good morning.
Oh. She felt her face go globby. Good morning.
Aha! Seth said.
Georgie looked up at him, stricken. He leaned against the closet, pleased with himself.
You're not wearing pants!
Is that Seth?
Neil asked. Georgie closed her eyes.
Yeah.
She could hear Neil's defenses coming up and falling down like Iron Man's armor snicking into place. She could hear it from across the country and 15 years away. Neil's voice was central air.
Did he just say that you weren't wearing pants?
He's being an idiot.
Yeah. Well, you're calling me back, right? When you're done with Seth? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, Georgie said. That's what's happening.
Right.
He exhaled roughly into the phone.
Talk to you soon.
He hung up.
Georgie threw the receiver at Seth hard, but not hard enough. The cord caught and coiled back in on itself, falling to the floor. For a second, she was worried that she'd broken it. Could she just plug in a new phone? Apparently, the brown trim line was magic, too, so she could always call Neil from the kitchen.
It's not enough for you to ruin my marriage now, she seethed, is it? You have to ruin it everywhere at once. Seth's eyebrows jumped up. He looked like she had hit him with the phone. He looked like he wanted to shout, rules, rules, rules.
Ruin your marriage, he said.
Georgie let out a breath and shook her head. I shouldn't have said that. She kept shaking her head. I'm sorry, I'm just...
Why did you open your mouth?
You think I'm ruining your marriage?
No, Seth, I don't. I think I'm ruining my marriage. You're just an accessory.
I'm not an accessory. I'm your best friend.
I know.
I'm always going to be your best friend.
I know.
Even if this...
Don't, she said. He fell back against the closet,
kicking it gently, then resting his foot against it, like he was modeling orange chinos. He was wearing orange chinos. Then he folded his arms.
"What does that even mean?" Seth asked. "Everywhere at once."
"It doesn't mean anything. I'm just tired."
"And scared," he said quietly.
She looked down at the comforter. "And scared."
"And talking to me about it is clearly a catastrophic idea."
She pulled her lips into her mouth and bit them, nodding.
"So let's not talk about it, Georgie. Let's just write."
Georgie looked up at him. Seth was being as sincere as he knew how. His face was so open, she practically didn't recognize it.
"It's the only thing I can fix for you," he said.
Her eyes dropped to the phone. "I have to call Neil back."
"Fine. You call Neil back, then get dressed. I'll track down our coffee and find a place to set up, and then you'll come out when you're ready, and I won't mention that you sleep pantsless, but I'll always know it from now on, Georgie, always, and we will write ourselves a script. We'll go Amy Sherman Palladino on its ass."
"I love Amy Sherman Palladino."
"I know," he said,
crunching his eyebrows at her meaningfully.
"I'm your best friend."
"I know."
"I'm going out to the kitchen now."
"Seth?"
"And you'll be out in a minute."
"Seth, I can't right now. I have to call Neil back."
His head fell back against the closet.
"I can wait." "I don't want you to wait."
"Georgie."
"Seth, I have to fix what I can."
"What am I supposed to do in the meantime?"
"Go to work," she said.
"Right." "And you'll come into the office later?"
"Probably."
"But you'll definitely come in tomorrow."
"Yes." He bounced his head gently against the fiber board.
"Fine. Just fine."
He kicked off the door.
4 days, he groaned. "We have 4 days to make this happen."
"I know."
"All right. But if it turns out you can't actively pick up the pieces of your marriage today, you may as well come right with me."
"Stop talking about my marriage.
For all time."
Seth stopped at the door and grinned back at her.
"Well, come on. You're going to see me to the door, right?"
Georgie folded her arms in the comforter.
"Let Heather kick you out. It'll cheer her up."
"I always thought Heather liked me,"
he muttered, letting the door swing closed behind him. Georgie didn't wait for Seth to leave the house. She didn't wait for her head or eyes to clear. She didn't stop to process the fact that Neil had called her twice now, which meant her magic phone worked both ways, which might mean... who knows what that might mean? It's a magic phone. It's not like it has rules. She dialed Neil's number so fast, she hit a wrong number and had to start all over. His dad answered, just to flip Georgie the fuck out again.
"Hi, Paul. Mr. Grafton, it's Georgie. Is Neil there?"
"You can call me Paul," he said.
"Paul," Georgie said, and she felt like crying again.
"You caught us just in time," he said. "Here's Neil."
A shuffling noise, then,
"Hello?"
"Hi," Georgie said.
"Hi,"
Neil said. Coolly, but maybe not angrily. It was always so hard to tell with him.
"Seth give you a break?"
"He left."
"Oh."
"Are you leaving?" she asked. "Your dad said..."
"Yeah, we're going to see my grandma's sister. She's in a nursing home."
"That's nice of you."
"It really isn't. She's in a nursing home, and she'll be alone on Christmas. It's pretty much the least we can do."
"Oh," Georgie said.
"Sorry. I just hate nursing homes. My great aunt doesn't have kids of her own, so we..."
"I'm sorry."
"You're sorry?"
Neil huffed.
"I thought you were sleeping."
"When?"
"When I called."
"I was sleeping," she said.
"You were with Seth."
"He'd just woken me up."
"You were supposed to call me when you woke up." I was going to call you.
Eventually, he said.
Neil, you promised you'd never be jealous of Seth.
I'm not jealous of Seth. I'm angry with you.
Oh.
I have to go, he said. I'll call you when I get back.
Don't call me, Georgie almost answered. Okay, I'll be here.
Okay.
She wasn't going to say, I love you now, just to see if he'd say it back. I'll be here, she said again.
Okay.
He hung up.
Chapter 20. Neil hung up, because it was that easy for him. For a second, Georgie wished he knew who she really was, when she really was, everything. Neil wouldn't just hang up on her like that if he knew he was hanging up on the future. You don't hang up a magic phone. Georgie wandered out to the kitchen, hungry. Heather was standing at the front door, talking to someone. Georgie spotted the pizza delivery car through the picture window and wondered if it would be rude to interrupt and take the pizza from them, or if, without the pizza, their little flirtation would collapse in on itself. She started the coffee maker and rooted through the fridge, not finding anything. After a few more minutes, Heather walked into the kitchen, smiling.
Where's the pizza? Georgie asked. I'm starving. Oh, I didn't order a pizza.
But the pizza boy was here.
Heather stepped past Georgie and leaned into the fridge. It was a wrong pizza.
There's no such thing as a wrong pizza, Georgie said. All pizzas are right from conception.
It was the wrong address, Heather said. Probably just a mix-up because we order from them so often.
Heather, I'm serious. There's no such thing as a wrong pizza.
That boy wanted to talk to you.
Heather just shook her head and opened the vegetable drawer.
How long has this been going on? Georgie asked.
Nothing's going on. How long have you been ordering pizzas for sport, not sustenance?
How long has Seth been your wake-up service?
Georgie pushed the fridge door closed. Heather had to jerk back to get out of the way.
Out of line, Georgie said.
Heather looked like she wanted to say something else, something worse, but pressed her lips closed and folded her arms. Georgie decided to walk away. She stopped at the edge of the kitchen.
I'm going to take a shower. Come get me if Neil calls.
Heather ignored her.
Please, Georgie said.
Fine, Heather agreed, not even bothering to turn her head. Georgie checked the yellow phone before she got into the shower, just to make sure there was a dial tone and that the ringer was turned up, as if somebody might have snuck in and messed with it. Once, in junior high, she'd been so worried about missing a call from a boy, she'd dragged the phone into the bathroom with her every time she had to go. He never did call, which didn't discourage Georgie even a little bit. She stood under the shower until the water ran cold, then stole some more of her mom's yoga pants and a sweatshirt with a pug on it and walked out to the laundry room. When Georgie was growing up, the washing machine and dryer sat out against the garage with a little plastic canopy over them, but Kendrick had built her mom a laundry room onto the back of the house with a tile floor and a sorting table. Georgie'd still be able to hear the kitchen phone out here if it rang. She opened the washing machine and dropped in her jeans and t-shirt and bra. It was a very depressing bra. It had been pink once, sometime between Alice and Numi, but now it was a grayish beige, and one of the underwires kept sneaking out through a rip between Georgie's breasts. Sometimes the wire crept almost all the way out and sprung like a hook from the neck of her shirt. Sometimes it bent the other way and poked her. You'd think that would prompt Georgie to buy some new bras, but instead she just pushed the wire back as soon as no one was looking, then forgot about it until the next time that bra came up in her rotation. Georgie was bad at all shopping, but bra shopping was the worst. You couldn't do it online, and you couldn't have somebody else do it for you. Bra shopping had always been the worst, even when her breasts were still young and lovely.
If only Georgie could figure out how to call herself in the past, she'd tell herself how young and lovely she was. This is the ghost of bra shopping future. Everyone's a little lopsided. Roll with it. She closed the washing machine lid, set the dial to gentle, then sank down on the floor in front of the dryer and leaned against it. It was warm and humming, and Georgie felt like one of those rhesus monkeys who preferred the cloth mother. It wasn't supposed to go like this.